Praise God. Let's get our Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 6. Amen. We're going to begin reading at verse number 12. If you're there, say praise the Lord. Amen. Begin reading at verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Because that we are not under the law, but under grace? Or as some may rephrase that, let's go back to verse number 15. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. As you're flipping over a couple of chapters into Romans chapter number 8, I'll just tell you that in the Amplified version, Romans 6 and 12 said, let not sin therefore rule as king in your short-lived perishable bodies to make you yield to its cravings, to be subject to its lust and evil passions. Verse number 15 said, Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey? Romans 8 and 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. I don't want to belabor the point tonight. I hope that I have not diluted the message with information and such, but I want to preach to you tonight about the power of pattern. Amen. The power of patterns. Praise God. The power of patterns. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, we need you today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your praise unto the Lord today. Father, we love you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, and God bless you, and you may be seated here. Amen tonight. Amen. I don't need to give you the definition of patterns. You yourself know patterns, no matter what they would be and what they're entailed in. There are patterns that are about and within all of our lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes that to everything there is a season. Amen. And that word season is indicative of patterns that are to come. Amen. There are patterns that have been set since the world was put into motion, since God began its spinning. Patterns that have come and patterns that are there to stay. Amen. The Bible teaches us Amen. Matthew, we read it actually this morning in Matthew 24, but the Bible teaches us, Jesus said, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree, that when his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." Amen. Summer is nigh. There are patterns that are established, and with these patterns that are established, amen, once the pattern is established, then the pattern, amen, is predictable. Amen. It begins to establish predictability. Amen. So, for instance, Jesus said that when you look at the fig leaf, when you look at its branches and you see the greenness is returning, and that it is tender, and you begin to put forth leaves, you know that the pattern of summer is coming back around. And through that, we get into the summer, into the dog days of summer, and the hot and the heat that is there. And then, but as soon as things begin to cool off and we feel the crispness that is within the air, then we begin to say that fall is nigh. And summer may try to hold on for an unpredictable amount of time, but nevertheless, it has to give way to the pattern, and the pattern that is to come is fall. Obviously, following after the fall becomes the winter. And winter, even though it may seem hard and dark to some, spring is on its way. Praise God. Amen. Spring tried to come in a little bit today, and winter has stepped back and said, no, not until the 20th or the 21st. It's still winter, and so there it is. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 5, beginning there, the Bible talks about other patterns that are in play in our universal system. The Bible said in verse number 5 of Ecclesiastes 1, "The sun also ariseth, and then it goes down, just simply to hasten to his place where it arose, and to do it all over again." Bible said that the wind goeth towards the south and turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And you learned the process of that in science and evaporation, and the rain returns back, and through the pattern of winter, it begins to fall as snow upon the mountains, and through the pattern of summer, it begins to melt and begins to make its way back down the rivers into the oceans to be evaporated, carried about, and to do the process all over again. Bible teaches us that people establish patterns. In the very next verse, it says that all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Amen. It just happens again and again and again and again. Amen. Patterns are established, and then again the patterns become predictable. Praise God. Amen. I could take you back, and without trying to dilute the message, there is somewhere that I want to get to tonight. I feel that the Lord would have to help us with. Amen. But I can take you back into the children of Israel, and I can show you that humanity, not only the things that were created in the world, but humanity has patterns that are established. Amen. The children of Israel are prime examples in all of this. And if history teaches us anything, it would teach us that the children of Israel were susceptible unto the pattern of bondage. And again and again and again and again and again and again and again, they found themselves in slavery. Most oftentimes, they were enslaved by the Philistines. But there were times that the Moabites rose up and troubled Israel several different times. The Midianites also appear more than once in Israel's history. The Ammonites are reoccurring enemies. And the Syrians were constant problems during the divided kingdom. Amen. And so what I want to point out is that the enemies, amen, began to understand the pattern that the Israelites had and knew that time would come around. And even though that they are strong at this moment in time, amen, that there is a pattern. pattern within them that they become susceptible to slavery. Praise God. Egypt reappears as a recurring influence or an oppressor. Babylon and Assyria are major empires that ultimately carried Israel and Judah away. And so the pattern is established, and we would see that this is the pattern that the Israelites had. We don't only see it throughout the first five books, but in the book of Judges, you will see that it happens the same way every time. And it's just simply that Israel sins, God allows oppression, Israel cries out, God sends deliverance, and peace happens until the cycle begins to repeat itself again. And then Israel would draw away or would drift away from God. Israel would sin. God allowed slavery to come. And Israel would cry out. God sends deliverance. Peace happens until the cycle repeats itself. It was nothing new. That happened in the Old Testament in the beginning with the children of Israel in their beginning in Egypt. Amen. And the Bible said that they cried out from slavery for a deliverer. God would send deliverance and they would have peace until the process would happen all over again. Amen. And there they were one more time returning into bondage. Amen. That is indicative of the spiritual man as well. Praise God. And it's not just the spiritual man. It is humanity. It is you and I. We are, first of all, susceptible to patterns. And the patterns that we are susceptible to are the ones that we ourselves create. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, and verse number 24, amen, that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. Finding none, he says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. And then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last estate of that man is worse than the first. Praise God. It's the same spirit. And the same spirit means it was the same temptations. It comes back just the same way. In the Old Testament, Israel was susceptible to idolatry. They always went looking for gods that were not theirs. They always went and served idols and things of such. And you think that after a while they would learn, but they never learned. They just kept going back into that same old idolatry. One reason was because that they would drift away from God and think that they could do it on their own accord. Life became such a thing to them. Life became such a pattern to them that they felt like they could achieve the pattern without God. You know, life has that way even today in our life. Amen. Life is the Bible, not the Bible, but in general, we are taught about the circle or the cycle of life. Amen. And that it just happens over and over and over and over again. And very, very seldom is an individual's pattern ever changed. And that is truly the miraculous power of God as it comes into a man. Amen. And begins to regene the man or regenerate the man into a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But that doesn't mean that the old man just kicks over and submits and says, I'll never bother you again. But the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, it doesn't understand the things of God. It cannot. Amen. And begins to seek after the things that are of the flesh. Amen. Because we get to this place that we feel like this life, I've done it so many times that I just feel like I could do it with my eyes closed. I feel like I can make decisions without even thinking about them. You know, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And you know what? I've asked God and I've worked through it with God and I've done it and God's given me answers and God's helped me there. I don't have to have an answer from God anymore. I don't have to have His voice in my life anymore. I've finally come to the place that I grew up and matured a little bit and I no longer have to walk holding His hands. I can walk on my own two feet. I can make my own decisions. I can do my own things, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I've got a confidence in myself that I'm going to make the right decisions. And if that's all it was just simply making the right decisions, then we would all be okay, because ultimately we do know what to do. Because every time that enemy comes back seeking rest, amen, he comes back around, he begins to offer those temptations, amen, you know what you're not supposed to do. Which ultimately means you know what you are supposed to do. Sin doesn't overtake you and overwhelm you, amen, and catch you. It may catch you blindsided, but the reason that it catches you blindsided is because you became weary, amen. You became confident in your abilities. You became unguarded. You let your guard down, and all of a sudden, kawhack, the devil comes back at you again and knocks you flat on your face and stuff because you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. You were trusting in your flesh, trusting the ability of your flesh, because this is old hat. I've done it again and again and again and again, and I don't have to do this, and I don't have to have all of this. I can just go on. And then all of a sudden, that enemy comes back around, that enemy that you kicked out at one point in time in your life. He comes back around, and lo and behold, he finds you empty, swept, clean, garnished. And then the Bible says that he goes away and he brings seven others worse than him, and he comes back, and the estate of that man, or the state of that man, is worse than the first. Praise God. And that's the power of the pattern. Amen. Paul said it in Galatians. He told the Galatians church, he said, but now after that you have known God, or rather you are known of God, how you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Amen. Paul said, you know God, you know the goodness of God, you know the rest and the peace and the tranquility of God, and how, amen, all of the good things that are known of God. But then you go and you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements. Amen. Peter described it as this. He said, it's like a dog that turns to his own vomit again. He said, it's like a sow that was washed and returns to her own wallow in the mire. Amen. It's just what happens. It goes back. It is a pattern. Amen. In our text, amen, Paul said, whosoever you yield yourself to become your master, amen, becomes your master again. It just happens again and again and again. I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm not here to belittle anyone. I am here to enlighten you, to help you to realize, amen, that it just, when we are honest with ourselves and we look at these things, we say, you know what? That's true. That happens over and over. Think about it like this. The drug addict that goes and spends thousands of dollars and goes through detox, and he comes out clean, and here he is on the other side. The enemy doesn't come back around and try to tempt him with alcohol. Tempts him with drugs. Wait, but he got cleansed of that. He got cleaned of that. The enemy comes back around and tempts him with the same vice again. Alcoholics, they go to this place called Alcoholic Anonymous, and they go through the course and all of this. But what are they wary of? It happening again. But you've been through the course. You've passed the classes, and you've done what you need to do. But you got to keep coming to the class. You can't stop. Because possibilities and the probability of it is it's going to happen again. It's a pattern. But it's not just a pattern. It is a spiritual pattern. It lets us be able to know. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so this helps us to be able to see that this is the way that the enemy combats and comes against us. However, you fill in the blank. However that the enemy has come and combated you in the past, let me just give you a clue. He's going to continue to come that way. Very, very seldom is it new habits, new problems, new temptations, new vices, new this. But you know what it typically is? Old habits, old vices, old temptations, old acquaintances, old friends. All the things that are associated with the past. And the crazy thing about it is it's the past that we wanted to get free from. The past that we wanted to break loose from. And then all of a sudden we're called back to the past through that process of pattern and the cycle of life. It goes back around again. And whatever you have been susceptible to in your past is going to be the same thing that the enemy. It may be wearing a different set of clothes. It may be a different gender. It may be, amen, a different color. But chances are it's the exact same spirit. Amen. Different voice. But it's the same spirit coming back around and luring you back to that place. That same spirit comes back. For Israel, it was idolatry, 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 idolatry. Praise God. Amen. And even when the enemy wanted to try to put curses against the children of Israel, Balak would say, or Balaam would say, can't happen because they're doing what's right. But if you get them to falter and fall and to drift away from their God, then you can do whatever it is that you desire. And he taught Balak how to cause the children of Israel to sin. And when they sinned and went off into perversion, guess what? They fell back into idolatry. And there they are worshiping the groves and the goddesses and all those other things. Solomon fell prey to all of it as well. He might have thought he was a wise guy and that he wasn't going to be susceptible to all of those things and that he's got the wisdom to get it. You're not wise enough to defeat the devil. You're not wise enough to get past it. You're not wise enough to walk on your own. You're not wise enough to make your own decisions. I'm not wise enough to make my own decisions. And somebody says, oh yeah, you need to be wise enough to make your own decision. I understand what you're talking about, but I want you to know that I am dependent upon God's voice in my life. I'm dependent upon his hand. I don't want to be strong enough and confident enough to walk without him. I know that I am only a temptation away from falling into sin. You say, wow, is it that hard? Is it that? Amen. I'm not giving the devil any room to be able to operate in my life. Because there's a pattern. There's a power to the pattern. First of all, the enemy has a pattern. He keeps coming back around with the same old thing again and again. I got a question for you. You couldn't handle it before. Why do you think you can handle it now? Oh, but I'm not David. I'm Solomon now. I'm wise enough to handle it this time. You know, after two or three times of faltering, it's just got to go forever. But for some reason, that's what humanity is. Nope, I can take care of it this time. I can do it this time. I can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. People that leave the church because they are offended, they go back to church, they would leave the church because they get offended. People that were alcoholics when they came to God, typically they leave the church because they're overcome by alcohol. people that come to church, amen, bound and addicted with drugs, by drugs and stuff, typically they leave the church because of drugs. Whatever it is, your vice is different than my vice. But we need to be cognizant of that and aware of that. The enemy is not going to come at you like he comes at me, and vice versa. Praise God, because he knows what works with you. And if you will be very, very honest with yourself, you will say to yourself, this is the truth. This is the truth. The very things that I had problems with before I came to God are the things that I struggle with now, even with God. It's not a new temptation. It's a pattern. It's a pattern in my life. It's a pattern in your life. And there's got to be something that breaks the pattern. There's got to be something. But even breaking the pattern, it still wants to seem to go and to fall back into that rut of life. Because there's a pattern. There's a pattern that is involved in our lives. Praise God. So with the pattern, there is a key. Amen. And all of that is going to be my introductory, and then I'm going to preach. But I will tell you that my introductory is way longer than the rest of the message. But there is a key involved in all of this, and the Lord gives us this key through his word in the book of James. James chapter number 4, verse number 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I want you to understand, first of all, I want you to understand the pattern that is established here, because the pattern is very important. There is a pattern of order that is here. And the first thing that you've got to do is submit yourself, therefore, to God. That's number one. Number one is you've got to be submitted to God. Oftentimes, we just simply try to resist the devil before submittance to God. And when you get it out of order, you're bound for problems. Because when we get to the place that we feel like we can resist with success, then we begin to depend upon our own abilities and our own selves. And you know what? That's a trap that the devil wants you to fall into. He wants you to feel like you can make it without praying. You can make it without coming to church. You can make it without being faithful. You can make it without reading your Bible. Some of you might say, I haven't read my Bible in years. That's what the devil wants you to feel. He wants you to feel confident and strong in your abilities of not reading your Bible. Why? Because he is scared to death of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Word of God is powerful. It's quick. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And you're defenseless without the sword of the Spirit. You're offenseless without the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, what did he use? He used the sword of the Spirit. He used the Word of God. And so if the devil can cut that off and sever it and get it out from you so that you don't have to read the Word of God, but you've got all time to read Facebook, you've got all time to read news, you've got all time to read all kinds of posts and social media and all this other stuff, but yet you say, I just don't have time to read the Bible. The devil wants you to resist without submittance. Because resisting without submittance is going to lead to defeat. And so the order of this is extremely important. You need submission before resistance. Because I would tell you today that even strong men who were able to resist fell in the Bible. Samson, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not going to go there and pull it all out. But that's exactly what Samson was saying his whole life. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm strong enough. Got the favor of God upon me. I'm going to do it my way. He went down to Timnath. What was wrong with Timnath? That's where they grew the grapes. That's exactly what he wasn't supposed to have. Down in the valley of Sorek. What was the valley of Sorek? That's where they had the grapes and the olives and all that other stuff. The very things that he wasn't supposed to have. Walking among the Philistines. What was wrong with that? Delilah? That just... just a guess. But you understand that he was resisting without submittance. What about Peter? Oh, no. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never walk away from you. Yes, you will, Peter, because you're not submitted. I won't do it. Ain't going to happen. Ain't no way it's going to happen. Peter, before the rooster crows three times, it's going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it. How about you believe it when you hear it? And that's exactly what happened when that rooster began to crow. He began to believe it. That submittance is better first than resistance. And so the devil does not fear our determination, but he must flee from God's authority. And when you begin to submit yourself, therefore, to God, there is a presence that is greater than you and that is greater than the enemy that steps into your situation and begins to handle things victoriously. He hasn't lost. He's not going to lose. But it's at a place when you submit yourself to God, and then when you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, and the enemy has to flee from you. Victory does not come from fighting harder, amen, but victory comes when you stay closer to God. And let me remind you, it's something that I stumbled across a couple of weeks ago, and it continues to burn in my spirit. But let me remind you, amen, dear saint of God, that the enemy is not going to afflict you. He's not going to trouble you unless he feels, thinks, or expects something great to happen in your life. But if everything is ho-hum and casual in your life, then he's going to let you continue to drift. But if there is pressure in your life, if there is resistance from the enemy in your life, then that's because there is an enemy that is sensitive in the spirit, because that he is a spirit and he is expecting something great to transpire in your life that ought to excite you, that ought to empower you, not to the place that you can do it on your own, but oh God, I'm fighting a resistance, and therefore I'm submitting myself to you, and I'm going to resist, and we are going to come through. I believe there is a reason why it seems as if all of hell has come against New Life, amen, and trying to blow out the fires that God is starting. I'm telling you, there's great things that are in store. There's great miracles, great expectations, and the enemy knows it. And if he can get you to hush, if he can get you to stop, if he can get you to stop pushing, then he's going to do it. But child of God, be encouraged. The pattern, amen, may seem to cycle around, but God also has a pattern. The enemy has his power pattern. We have our pattern. But God also has his pattern. His pattern is predictable. Amen. His pattern is established.
His pattern is that no man would perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. His pattern is he just keeps on reaching. He doesn't stop. And even though that Israel would fall into idolatry, God didn't turn his back on them forever and walk away and do something else. But he kept coming back again and again and again. A new generation, but he came back again. Amen. Different people, but he came back again. Same old problems, but he came back again. Same pattern, but he came back again. And he always called them back, forgave them, and loved them. Amen. God's got a pattern that is established, that is here to give you hope, that is here to give you victory, that is here to give you deliverance, that is here to bring you through. You just got to look for the pattern and the hand of God to show up.
Praise God. I'm just about done. Amen. Musicians can come. I want to talk to you for just a moment of time about this pattern that God has. And this is what it really is. You would see that there were 10 plagues. God just kept on moving, kept on reaching, kept on forcing. Hey man, there was times that Pharaoh said, all right, all right, all right. But he held his ground. And God just kept on pressing. God just kept on pushing. God just kept on walking. Amen. And he continued to walk all the way up until the 10th plague. Amen. When the Egyptians and Pharaoh said, enough is enough. Get your stuff and get out of here. Take your children. Take your animals and go as far as you want to go. We are going to let you go. But the Egyptians did not just let them go. After a few days, the Egyptians turned and began to pursue after them, just like the enemy began to pursue after you. You may have been baptized in his name. You may have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but your problems didn't necessarily go away. Temptations didn't necessarily stop. They may have stopped for a period of time. Amen. But it all comes back again and again and again. And you've had to face things like the Red Sea in your life, and you face things like the Jordan River in your life, and you face things like the lion's den in your life, and you face things like a fiery furnace in your life. But can I remind you that when the Red Sea rolled away, that God took his hand and he held the waters back just as long as somebody else wanted to come through. Amen. As long as people were walking, God held the waters back, and until the last one came through, amen, God just sat there holding the waters back. He said, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I want you to win. I want you to come through. I brought you this far. I'm not going to leave you. I want to see you make it.
Didn't stop there. There was this thing called the Promised Land. And when the Promised Land began to open up and the Jordan rivers began to roll back, you stand here tonight. Amen. But as the Jordan rivers began to roll back, the Bible says, amen, that when the priest put their foot into the water, that the waters rolled back on both sides, and they stayed rolled back as long as there was another one that said, I want to go into the Promised Land. God said, come on, it's for me, it's for you, it's for your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want you to know that that priest probably got tired and probably got weary of the burden of the ark upon his shoulders. And he may have said, I'm tired, and forget about everybody else. I just got to get out. And God said, nope, you're going to stay right there. And you're going to worry, and you're going to fret, and you're going to hold the weight and the burden until the last one has come through. You're not out of it until they're out of it. You're not coming out until everybody that wants to go into the promised land is in the promised land.
Preacher, why don't you give up? Preacher, why don't you quit? Why don't you just throw in the towel? Why don't you just forsake them? Why don't you just walk? If they don't want to live for God, you can't make them live for God. If they don't want to do right, you can't make them do right. Amen. No. It's not my pattern, it's his pattern. And God said, you're going to stay right here, and you're going to feel the weight of it all until the last one has come through. And God said, you might as well get patience, and you might as well just don't get in a big hurry, because unless, there's long as there's somebody else that wants to come into the promised land, these waters are going to stay rolled back. And as long as there's another one that wants to come into the promised land, amen, you're going to stand right here, and you're going to watch, and you're going to observe. God said, this is my pattern, and my pattern wins. God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is with us, then who can fight against us? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? God said, you're coming out. You're not going to be in slavery. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to give in to the things of the world. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to go through it again and again. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to bring you out. I'm here to make a way when there is no way. I'll roll back the Red Sea as long as it needs to be rolled back. I'll hold back the waters of Jordan as long as you're interested in getting in the promised land. And if you go in the fire, I'll go in with you. And if you go in the lion's den, I'll go in with you. I'll go with you. I'll be with you, even until the end of the world. Amen. Through the darkest depression, I'll be there. In the lowest valley, I'll be there. God said, I'm for you. I'm fighting for you. I believe in you. You can win. You can make it. Tell hell to go away. Tell the devil to get lost. Tell the devil to take a hike. Amen. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. It's a pattern. God said, if you'll reach out, I'll reach down. If you'll step forth, I'll step out. If you'll reach up, I'll come down. There's a pattern that God says, no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. God's pattern trumps. God's pattern wins. God's pattern is victorious. God doesn't lose. Amen. The devil loses. You may be weak. You may be susceptible. But when you submit yourself to God, when you resist the devil, he cannot overcome you. He cannot overwhelm you. There is a powerful pattern developed in all of Scripture that God has established. If they cry out to me, I'll be there. I'm going to be as close as the mention of my name. When they call on me, I will hear them. I will come to them. I will forgive their sins. I will be their God.
Pastor, I'm fasting. Pastor, I'm praying. Pastor, I'm reading my Bible. But Pastor, I'm fighting hell. That's because the devil expects something great to happen. He's not just going to let you waltz on into victory. He's going to try to stop you. That's his pattern. And you can be susceptible to his pattern, or you can get close to God and let God's pattern work it out for you. All things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. There is a pattern that God says, I'm going to be there as long as you want me there. If you want to cross the Red Sea, I'll make a way. If you want to cross Jordan River, I'll make a way. If you want to come out of a lion's den, I'll make a way. If you fell into a whale's belly, I'll make a way where there seemed to be no way. God is able.